Welcome to another episode of Out from the Cube. It is our Monday, what used to be called, I guess, our Monday roundups. But to be honest with you, if you've listened with any regularity to the podcast, one, I appreciate the support that you've given. It's really been an amazing year. We're actually closing in on number 100. This might be episode 92 or 93, which, man, I mean, and probably the average of all those episodes is somewhere around an hour. Some are, you know, 45 minutes, some have gone 2 hours. And so if the average is around 100, we almost have 100 hours of content, conversation, and opportunities to kind of learn and get better. So it's been an amazing year. Actually, I looked up yesterday how long this has been going on, how long we've been doing the podcast. And the first episode we dropped was on April 24th of last year. And today is April 1st. So almost, I guess now 11 months, closing in on 12 months and closing in on 100 episodes. So really appreciate all the support everybody has given us on LinkedIn, on Twitter. People that have my email message, my email address have sent me some nice messages, and actually some people that do have my phone number to send me text messages. It's been a great year in terms of learning, getting better, and being accountable to, you know, to putting out some content. Which puts me into books and puts me into podcasts and puts me into conversation, which, you know, edifies me, uplifts me, and helps me to become a better person, a better employee, a better for my clients, everything of that nature. So really appreciate it. I'm going to try to keep these to about 40 minutes, have my phone next to me with a timer, and I'm at 38 minutes and 12 seconds left, but want to make sure I leave it to that. I apologize ahead of time that we haven't put out probably for 3 weeks now a Monday roundup or a Monday weekly synopsis of what I've learned or things I'm reading or the people I'm talking with. We have been quite busy with a number of clients here in the St. Louis area and in some other states that circle around us, most notably in Illinois. So it's really been great to get out and be with clients and solve, you know, problems, and then really be able to implement some of the things that we've talked about, some of the things we're learning, and some of the strategies and tactics that we're trying to take away. But as I want to start with this, I guess. Today is April 1st. If you have listened with any regularity to the podcast, you know that we've talked about the quarter system, and that we, instead of going 12 months of goal planning and strategies and tactics and things that we're going to accomplish and being accountable to those, and really that mindset being, okay, well, it's April 1st and I have until November 1st before I've got to get serious. Whereas and there's a book that changed me, and I'm looking on my bookshelf here. There it is. Let me grab it real quick. The book that I'm thinking of is called The 12-Week Year. It is written by Brian Moran, M-O-R-A-N, Brian P. Moran. It is called The 12-Week Year. It is a New York Times bestseller. I'm opening this up, and I have taken a pink highlighter to this on every page, it looks like, and underlined, and yellow highlighters, and stars, and notes, and pages folded down. So I have destroyed this book, but it impacted me in this way. It impacted me in this way. But here's the phrase before I say how it impacted me. The 12-week year, get more done in 12 weeks than others do in 12 months. But how this impacted me really was to get out of the mindset of setting goals for the whole year, wanting to accomplish things for 12 months, and then circling back around the time of Halloween or Thanksgiving and saying, crap, I need to get going on my goals that I set for 2019. This mindset is, let's set goals, to really break it down into a small chunk that is very easy to understand and to hopefully implement, is to just sit there and say, hey, I'm just going to set goals and have a strategy to accomplish and improve over 12 weeks as opposed to 12 months. So what that does, I think, for me is it created a fair amount of momentum. Instead of 365 days and blowing off one day or 2 days or a week of 52 weeks and saying, well, I still have 51 or I still have 48. When you blow a day off in 12 weeks, or you blow off 1 week in 12 weeks, it is much more impactful. And so, and then I say that in regards to it's much easier to stay focused and say, hey, I've just got to stay on this path for 12 weeks, 7 weeks, 6 weeks. So I've subscribed to that. My old planning system that I used to carry around with me wherever I went and used for 5 to 8 years, I changed this past year when I came across a planning system called the Full Focus Planner, the Full Focus Planner. What I liked about the Full Focus Planner, and I know people that have listened to this podcast before, I've mentioned it a number of times, but it breaks it down into a quarter. This planner that I have now in front of me is brand new, started it today. I'm getting ready to implement my goals and strategies and rituals and habits that I'm trying to implement for this next quarter, Q2. And I have, it's brand new. I do have last quarter's planner here in front of me as well, but this new one is got one page written on it. Not true. I mean, I have some goals at the very front of the book. You have to write down your goals, things you're trying to accomplish, your morning rituals, things like that. But as far as daily, I've got one day written down today, April 1st. But I do know what I want that to be when it rolls around to April, May, and June, and when it gets to be around June 30th. So what this has done for me is made me terribly excited about what I did in Q1. It refreshes me, recenters me. It makes me write down what I hope to accomplish in Q2. And I get excited about this new year, this new 12-week year that I now have in front of me. And I'm super excited about, like, this Q1 planner is filled with notes. If you were to go to Out From The Cube on Instagram, you will see essentially a snapshot of the notes that I take every morning around 4:30. From 4:30 to about 6. I sit there and read and listen to podcasts and my own thoughts and just kind of take notes on what I'm learning and how that can help me personally, professionally, help my clients, things of that nature. And so if you were to look at this planner, it is filled up. What I'm disappointed in, to be honest with you, is I didn't hammer these goals out, and there's 8 of them, I believe, as well as I had hoped. I gave a talk last week to a group that I got invited. If you are following me on LinkedIn, and I hope you do, reach out to me on LinkedIn. But I write every Monday, I release a PDF document that you should be able to download of notes from the week. So I have a week worth of notes in my planner, things I'm learning, things that resonate with me, things that impact me, names of people I need to meet or listen to, books that I need to read, books that I need to reread. I could write the same thing down every single day. I just take copious notes over and over and over again. But what I do on Sunday night or sometimes very early Monday morning is I go through and take the highlights of the week and I write them down onto OneNote on my computer and I release them onto LinkedIn. But you could see all these notes from this past quarter kind of on there and what has really impacted me. My hope is this, and why I'm kind of laying all that out, is today is a new beginning. Whatever has happened quarter one, however you are feeling, whatever you have accomplished or have not accomplished, you know, or the goals that you have, or maybe, you know, that the first 3 weeks of January, my friend, if you listen on Wednesday, I think I've heard this from 2 people, but I know Jason Wells has said it, who we are with on Wednesdays for our Why Wednesday. But Jason has said that he stays away from the gym, the workout gym, the first 3 weeks of January because he knows it's just going to be packed, that there's people that have their resolutions, and that he knows by January 21st, 80 to 90% of them have quit and are back into their old lifestyles, old routines, old habits, old rituals. And then he finds it acceptable because of how busy things are to go back to the gym. And I've heard that from another friend of mine, Brad Bryan, who you know, is a friend here in my community that works in the health industry, and he agrees with that. It takes about 3 weeks. But now we can sit back and say, now it's April 1st. So here's the thing. If you have that, and just to use health and fitness and working out as the example, if you're sitting there and you're one of those people, and let's say you even made it to February 1st, that you weren't part of the 80, 90% that quit your resolutions by January 21st. Let's say you made it to February 21st. And let's say you fell off, you dropped, you quit, you didn't, you know, all the negative beliefs, something bad happened to pitfall you, to cycle you back into the old, you know, that Jason and I have talked about, this tornado or whirlwind where you're just spinning. That sucks if you look at it as a full year. If you're looking at it and say, well, shit, I wasn't able to do this. I wasn't able to accomplish this. I wasn't strong enough to do X, Y, Z, but I will next year. I can't wait for January to roll around. I can't wait for December to roll around where I can recalibrate, reset myself, refocus myself for January 1st, 2020. And I get it. I've been that guy. I've done it. And I've sat there and said, next year, January, can't wait. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Now, with the 12-week year or the quarter system, man, you fall off some of this stuff and then you sit back on, you know, which I did this past weekend, where you sit back and really try to analyze Q2 and get excited about it and say, I'm going to do it this time and I've got my goals. And yeah, my goals were C minuses, but I'm going to jump back in and I'm going to really tackle April 1st. And I'm going to have these goals and I'm going to come up with maybe a different strategy, a different tactic, different people to be accountable to. And I think that is exciting as you roll into Q2. I was saying this earlier and got sidetracked. But I was asked to speak to a group because of some of the notes that I put on LinkedIn. And, you know, we really talked about just kind of the team and recalibrating and getting refocused and the goals for the next, you know, the next quarter and really trying to chunk that up. It really stinks where most of your work, if you are a salesperson, that your work, your drive is maybe based on that yearly system where you're sitting around November really trying to cram things in. If I were in sales, where that was all I did, I'd like to think I do a little bit of sales in terms of meeting people and networking and talking about what our company does and the value that we provide and the solutions and strategies and problems that we can solve. But it's not all I do. But if I had those quotas to reach, then I know that March 20th, you know, feels a lot different to me trying to reach quarterly goals than it does to sit back and try to reach November to try to cram it all into a yearly goal. So I say all that, you know, reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm getting great feedback on those notes that I put up there once a week and really appreciate it. And it's just really the things I'm learning. And I heard from somebody this morning about how those notes, they were able to steal a few nuggets off of it, right? The idea is this: you go to a coaching clinic, I'm thinking about basketball, and you're a motion offense team, and you go to a clinic and you listen to Tom Izzo talk, and Tom Izzo is the head coach at Michigan State, and he is not a motion guy, but he's going to run a ton of sets, which is totally different offensive theories and systems and philosophy. And you're going to come back to your team and say, what, you know what, we've run motion for the past number of years, but you know, I just listened to Coach Izzo talk and now we're going to run sets. You can't make these wholesale changes to your teams on what you listen to or what you read or the podcast you listen to or the conversations you have. The idea is to look at notes, either whether that be mine or other people's or books you read or conversations you have or clinics you may go to, and to take one or two little nuggets away and say, you know what, I think I could implement that. I think I could have that conversation. I think that mindset would serve me and my team. And I think that's a small little subtle change that we can do in order to be more efficient, more effective, and get moving in the right direction. So, yeah, appreciate the people that have, you know, that consume our content, but also look to our notes online and things like that. I really appreciate that. So here's kind of where I wanted to go this morning and what struck me. Basketball season is winding down. And there's a video that I have seen for the past number of years that has always impacted me. And it is what I'm work. As you know, if you've listened to me, I am a, you know, I'm in the software world. We work with teams and we coach teams. In fact, the clients I'm working with over the next number of weeks, if not months, it's all coaching, working with business executives, working with IT and software teams, and getting them more efficient in terms of delivering software, but more so making sure that not only do they deliver great software, but the people on the team enjoy their work more. I think that's Simon Sinek had this great line, and I'm not going to get it exact, but his mission, his purpose, his vision for his life is to do whatever he can to make sure that he impacts people to enjoy their professional life more. That it's not everything, that you can go to work and enjoy it, that you can have these high octane, high impact jobs where there's high deliverables and high responsibilities, and you can still walk out of there at 5, 6 p.m. at night and say, man, I got the best job in the world. But it really, it's Simon Sinek's mindset is really to develop leaders that foster those environments of peace and appreciation and love and caring and all that kind of goofy stuff that, you know, that is hard to implement into our workplace. But that's kind of what Simon Sinek does. And I really feel compelled that way as well, because the coaching that we're now doing is software related, but it is team related. We did a workshop 2 weeks ago and had a great time. Amazing people, an amazing client with great issues. Great issue. I say that kind of strategically. I don't necessarily we sit and say, hey, that these are all problems, that this company has this problem and we're brought in to solve that problem. I look at it as, you know, they've got a strategy that they're trying to fine tune or dial in and trying to figure out ways to be more efficient. Our company could go work for, you know, Amazon or Google or any of these places that are just hammering out some of the best process and software in the world. But it's that mindset of improvement. It's the mindset of always wanting and needing a coach with a different perspective. You know, there's a great video on TEDx that I promised to put in the link in my show notes a number of months ago, but it is this surgeon who is the best surgeon in his field in the country, if not the world. And he's given this talk on TEDx and he's talking about, I need a coach. I invited all these people in to observe me because they were, the takeaways, the feedback, the different tactics and strategies that I could then implement to get even better. So it's not that you have problems. It's not that you're the worst. It's not that you are at the bottom and not performing. You could be an elite performer, but man, wouldn't that be great to have somebody come in? And I think that guy's takeaway was he had many takeaways, but one of them was like, when you make this type of cut in surgery, your arm is at like a 40 degree angle and it needs to be at 45, like a 42 degree angle. Now I'm sure it wasn't like that small of a degree, but you get the idea. Like if you had your elbow up a little bit more at a different angle, you would be able to see X, Y, and Z. The cut would be clean, like all that sort of stuff. And he's like, man, I didn't realize I was doing that. I could get better. And so we're doing that with some of our clients now, and it's really been great. And kind of forgetting where I was kind of going with that. But this is where I'm thinking now, as we kind of move forward with this quarter, but I have heard this, I've seen this video a number of times now that basketball season is ending, and it impacts me every time I see it. And the groups that I'm working with tonight, I'm working with a group tonight, could be a large group, and it's the first time we're meeting for the spring. So our, you know, winter has ended, now we're getting ready for spring, and I'm going to find this video. I am going to show it to these young athletes tonight that I'm working with, And it's very driven athletically, but it is also very driven professionally. And it is about being great. But essentially what the video is this. This kid, this young athlete who is 17, 18 years old, who's a senior in high school, is playing in the state tournament. I don't think it's the state championship. I don't know the exact background on the story, but he is definitely playing in the state tournament. I think, you know what, now that I think about it, I think it was maybe the state championship. And the video shows him walking off the floor with his head down and he's dejected and he hugs his coach and they've lost. Then he's in the press conference afterwards. He's sitting next with his coach. And he starts talking about how much he really loves that coach. But he says this, and I'm not going to get it right, but he essentially says, when I was a freshman, when I was 14 years old, this coach, so-and-so, talked about winning a state championship, being a state champion. And he talked about what it takes to be a state champion. And all he says in this video is, coach told me I had to be different. And if you've listened to the podcast, now we're at 93 episodes, like I said. We're closing in on 100. And I know we've talked about being different. But I always think about this video, this young athlete that is now probably 2 or 3 years removed from this experience. But it locked in on him. He goes, I had to be different. My goal was to be a state champion. I had to think different. I had to act different. I had to behave different. I had to perform different. I had to train different. I had to do things differently than anybody else was doing. And I tried to get us to do things differently as other teams. We can't do the same thing that other people are doing if we want to be champions, if we want to win a championship. And that said, he says this, I walked through the door at 14 years old, and that's what I was told. That it wasn't a matter of me doing the same thing. And then you got to sell it. And I guess I'm taking this liberty. The coach sold that every day for 4 years. You got to be different. You want to be a state champion? You want to play and win the state championship? You got to do things different. You got to get up a little earlier. You got to get more practice in, more shots in, more reps in, more training in. Do better academically. Be a better teammate. Understand the strategies and tactics better. Like, I know, like, up to this point, that's all basketball related. I get it. But how different are you? And it's on me. How different am I doing about doing things? This is what I was saying essentially when I was bringing up the group that I spoke with last week. They saw my notes online. It resonated with them. I was asked to speak, and it was great. Really enjoyed it. And I made this comment, and this is going to sound really arrogant, and I try to be an incredibly humble person. I try to be. And maybe by trying to be humble and saying you're humble, you're really arrogant. I don't know. But I said this. I think I'm doing extraordinary things. And I kind of paused a little bit. And then I think I repeated it one or two more times. I think I'm doing extraordinary things. I'm reading. I'm taking notes. I'm very introspective. I try to treat people the right way. I really care deeply about my clients. I'm up early. I'm studying and writing notes down and really trying to figure out how I can be better and all that. And I said that. And I actually do believe that. But here's the thing. I think I'm doing it at a C-. And that might be generous. Does that make sense? I think I'm doing extraordinary things, but I think I'm doing it at a C-. Right? I know I get up early. I know I'm doing X, Y, and Z. I know what I'm doing late at night to try to grow and get better and all that. It's a shame that I'm investing all this time and not getting more out of it. So here's the thing. I think I'm doing things different. I think I'm trying to be different. I'm trying to do different things to improve myself and to also improve the position of my clients. But it's not different enough, right? Or maybe we, the group, the team, the company, maybe we aren't different enough, right? So this young athlete that really impacted me, and he's sitting there talking about being different and doing different things and not rolling in at, you know, 9 o'clock, you know, but thinking differently, treating people differently, thinking of your clients differently, thinking of your team differently, thinking how you recruit differently, thinking how you sell differently. How can you do things differently? I don't know what anybody's strategy is in terms of selling and all that, but you know, how can we do that different? How can we be different than the car shop across the street? What can we do to be a state champion? And this kid was crying, but he was so impacted by that coach that he was crying. And then the camera actually glanced over and positioned itself to look at the coach who was crying, sobbing, sobbing. That coach was sobbing. And I sit there and I get emotional thinking about it. I get emotional watching it because it's the impact that you can have on one. And this happens to be one kid who's going to carry that feeling, that vibe, that lesson, that juice the rest of his life. He's going to sit there and say, you know what? The rest of my life, I've got to be different. I've got to think different. I've got to act different because I want more. I want more impact. I want more responsibility. I want more success. I want better relationships. So I'm going to do things different than how everybody else does it. So I talk a lot about being in the middle. And I think we are in the middle so much. Me doing extraordinary things about a C minus, generous C minus. Right? As opposed to being different, standing out, having a different mindset, taking all these notes and everything that I have here written down in front of me and trying to take more action on these things, trying to be more different, more impactful, more caring, more whatever for our clients, for ourselves, for our community, for our families, all that. So I don't know where that impacts you, and I don't know as you're driving down, and I know it's been 3 or 4 weeks since we've put out our own podcast about this, but I'd encourage you this. Here's my encouragement for me. This quarter, April 1st, is how can we be more different this quarter? How can I take these notes, have more impact, more reach, more responsibility, more caring, more thought, more devotion, whatever it is to my community, to my family, to my clients, to my employer, to all of that? How can we be more different than what we're currently doing? Because we're still in the middle. People that are listening to this with regularity know that and I can't speak for you, but as you're driving to work or you're listening to this, you're mowing the yard now that it's April and you're listening to this, how can we get out of the middle? How can we have more impact? How can we be more different? More different. How can we sell more different? And the phrase, and I don't mean to use the word sell. I think I told myself I was going to get off that word a little bit and really think about the word reinforce. How can we reinforce that with our teams? How can we sit there as executives, sit down and say, we're doing all the same crap that every other company in this town's doing, and we're calling ourselves different? We're not different. How can we be more? Everybody, you know, there's a book called The 2 Second Lean, and the book really doesn't have, the context of the book doesn't have anything to do with the conversation we're having. But the idea is this. In 2 Second Lean, it's a gentleman that runs a widget factory of some sort up in Bellingham, Washington. It's a great book if you're into lean thinking and lean process and how to lean out a company or your even your personal life. He talks about it's a great book to get, the 2 Second Lean. But how he starts the book out in the first 10 or so pages is he brings his company together every morning, company-wide, and says, you got to come up with just two 2 seconds that we can be more efficient. Everybody. And it could be like, and this is the example we gave at a with a client at a workshop we gave a week or so ago. You know what? I've got my coffee pot here, but the coffee filter's 2 cabinets over. Perfect. 2 second lean. Let's streamline that and make that more lean, more efficient. So that it's the idea that he just brought people and said, hey, everybody's got an idea about how we can be better. Everybody has an idea on how we can be different. And we're getting together and we are going to talk about how we can be different in a positive way. How can we have more impact? How can we include more? How can our clients walk away from feeling that we really care about them? Them, their problems, what they're up against, what the next year looks like, what the next 2 years looks like, how we can impact them and how we can serve them, how we can serve them. How can we be different? You have me thinking about this as we talk it out, as I open up my planner to last Friday. You don't build culture by having free snacks and casual Friday, and we get to open up Dos Equis at 3 o'clock on Friday. You build culture by talking to people one-on-one and understanding what they care about. I forgot, that was a Gary Vee quote. So I'm gonna, yeah, it is. It says right there. That's Gary Vee. You don't build culture by having free snacks. You build your culture by talking to people one-on-one and understanding what they care about. The reason I thought about that is I think that's different. One, I also think that's that one-on-one. It's that connection. It's caring about your people. It's figuring about what matters to them. And then maybe they'll care about what matters to their clients. Maybe they'll care more. Maybe they'll care more about the position their clients are in, how they can better position them. Maybe they could sit back and say, you know what? I want to know what matters to my people. They're going to matter what happens to their clients more and the people involved with what we're trying to build. So all that centers around being different. I think that's, I know it's a Steve Jobs thing about thinking different and all that. But I would encourage us as leaders to really sit back and say, how can we implement that mindset? How can I go about my group of people? How can I bring people in instead of just maybe one or two people? But how can I really sit down with people across the board with my company, have a conversation, figure out what matters to them, and then sit there and say, how can we be different? How can we have more impact? That young athlete at 14 years old was sold this idea of being different. He carried it with him for 4 years. Behaved different, talked different, trained different, was a teammate differently, encouraged everybody on the team to be different. And they probably went from being average, in the middle people, athletes, team, company, to 4 years later playing for a state championship and probably being very close to being champions. Because that was the goal, that was the strategy, that was the vision to get there. So what I didn't, and I'm sitting around thinking about as I look at this planner, there's 300 pages. I'm on page 31, which happens to be Monday, April 1st. This book rolls all the way to 304, and it's only one quarter. So I have essentially 270 blank pages, which is my story. It's my quarter. It's my goals. It's my the knowledge I'm taking in, the content I'm taking in from other people to implement into my life, my teams, my family, my clients, my the place I work. And I've got to look at this differently than I did Q1. Because like I said, Q1 looks like I'm doing extraordinary things. It's too bad it's a C-. I could open it up, page 159. Everybody's got Jordan level talent. Everybody's got Michael Jordan level talent at something. You got to identify that gift and you got to get after it. You are obligated to get after your gift. You've got to uncover your gift. You need to sit and be different relative to your gift identify your gift, and then, as Coach Meyer used to say, you give your gift away. What's your gift? What are you great at? What are you passionate about? Right? Some people say, I don't care about your passion. I care about your gift. Right? It's this thing. I'm super passionate about the guitar. I love the guitar. Right now, I'm looking at pictures in my basement of people I admire that play the guitar. Love it. I'll tell you right now, it is not my gift. It is not my gift. I am not gifted playing that stinking guitar. I love it. It's relaxing. I'm passionate about it, but I'm not chasing that. I'm not chasing that passion, right? At 45, to sit here and say that I'm going to play the guitar like those people and sit in those arenas and play, I'm not chasing that passion, right? There's a difference, as Gary Vee says, between passion and delusion, right? I'm not going to be delusional about this guitar. And it is not my gift, but I've got to identify my gift. And we all have Michael Jordan level talent at something. So it's a shame that some of us, me, maybe I'm just talking to me, are doing these great things at a C minus level, but things got to be different this quarter. So all that being said, I said I'd go 40 minutes. We're at 3:45 left. 40-minute podcast. I appreciate you listening. My encouragement is this, is today's your New Year's Day. Today is New Year's Day. How excited are we January 1st, 2019? I'll tell you exactly what I did that day. I went and ran a 5K. We started the year off great. We're going to do this. There's a big group of us. My friend that runs the fitness company here in St. Louis, I told you about earlier in this episode. We all went up to his place and we ran a 5K. Some of us walked a 5K. Some of us ran walked. How's that? I ran walked it. But we started our year off great. Today's April 1st. I should have woke up, and I did actually. I woke up with some great enthusiasm. I woke up with a different mindset. I woke up with a strategy and some tactics to conquer my day, to really get after it, to really think about my clients and what they were going through and problems and some of the solutions and strategies that we're coming up with this week as we go work with clients. I was super excited. That was a different mindset than it was Thursday, Friday. And I've got to be able to sustain it. I'm telling you, 12 months. December 12th, 13th, whatever it is, man, the juice is rough, right? Or maybe it's not that rough in December because you're juiced up about the January. But maybe the August 28th sucks, right? And you're like, oh, man, I've been doing this for 8 months and I'm not different. I'm not doing anything different. My life's not any different. I'm not accomplishing any goals. I quit everything on January 21st and I'm looking forward to January 1st, 2020. So I can now get after it. Well, you do. And it is today. And it is April 1st. And it is the start of Q2. And I encourage you to think differently for the next 12 weeks. Get a planner. Write down 8 goals that you're doing. I have mine written down in terms of, you know, continuing the momentum of health and fitness, continuing trying to eat a little bit better, some financial goals, some client-related goals, some personal goals on how I'm going to organize my mornings, and things of that nature. My children and the type of father I am or hope to be and what I'm going to try to do in the next 12 weeks, what I'm going to try to do in the community to help people in the community, all that. I'm excited. I'm excited for this next quarter, and I hope you are too. So listen, with 1 minute to go, I hope you're ready for this quarter. I hope you have a strategy for this quarter. I hope you have some goals for this quarter. And I hope you have tactics to knock them out. Reach out to me on LinkedIn. Reach out to me on Twitter. Email me, whatever it is. All my information is in the show notes. If we can help in any way, have a conversation with you about any problems you may have or different solutions or how to move the dial. Or let me say it this way. If you want to have a conversation, how your team can think differently, you need to reach out to us. We don't have the answers. I don't have the answers. We have suggestions. We have different strategies. We've seen different things. Have you thought about this? Have you considered this? Those would be the things, the conversations we'd love to have. If you want to have your team, business, come up with strategies to be different, then I think you should reach out to us. And I think that would be a great conversation to have. Listen, I really appreciate everybody that listens to this. I appreciate everybody that supports this. We're closing in on episode 100, and that means a lot. And the guests that we've had on mean a lot to me, and it has been an amazing year. We are going to do an episode on April 24th. I'm going to release one just to make sure I, you know, let everybody know how much I appreciate the support that they've given to us. Reach out to us. Get out of your cube. That would be the encouragement for this quarter. Be different. Get out of your cubicle. Connect more, engage more, collaborate more, problem solve more, and be different in how you work with one another, how you work with your clients, how you work with your family, how you work with your community, and be great and get out of your cubicle. Have a great rest of the week, and I hope you have a great Monday, but have a great rest of the week. We'll do our Why Wednesday with Jason on Wednesday. Take care.